Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, here it comes, Blessed Souls, the higher inner dimension of blogtalkradio.com. This is Soul Class 449. Today's program is Thoughtful Soul Garments, installment number 2. Blessed is our Creator. Bracha, blessing, and shalom, peace upon the human family experience. We're alive because we want to stay alive. In Torah Chaim, instructions of life. Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness. Torah Rachamim, instructions of mercies. Our broadcast, which is transpiring right now in this most existential of moments, on February 19th, 2015, it's about 9:32, Eastern Standard Time, live from Turtle Island, a.k.a. the USA, unifying souls, actually. Our program will focus on the blessed human faculty of thought. Hopefully this presentation will provide food for thought, or is it that it will be thought for food? Our call-in number today is 347-838-8669, and I apologize in advance to anyone who calls in with the intent of speaking, because today, once a week, I try to do a show which is solo, not hand solo, but to provide a course which is, with the help of the Most High, to assist and empower any human being to realize there's much more than the force. There is the source of all creation. And that being said, we'd like to start with a quotation from the prophet Isaiah, who's also known as the Navi Hagula, the prophet of redemption. The spirit of the eternal creator was upon me, since the creator anointed me to bring tidings to the humble. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to declare freedom for the captives and for the prisoners to free from captivity. To learn more about that blessed eternal verse from the Tanakh, from the book of Isaiah, you have to go to chapter 61, verse 1, Blessed Souls. And before we go a little further into the program, I just want to point out that I feel that I have a unique opportunity via my accessing Blog Talk Radio and having these continual programs with the continuing help of the Most High and His blessings to share insights and to recommend books for your purchase, Blessed Souls. And one of the books I'd like to recommend for you to purchase, along with my ongoing efforts in Torah activism, is to recommend a book that was published within the last year by Rabbi Chaim Klorfin and Rabbi David Katz. It's called The World of the Ger. And Ger, you spell G-E-R. And it's a wonderful book offering any Jewish person or any daughter or son of Noah, in terms of your physical lineage, going back to that ancient tzaddik, that ancient righteous soul Noah. Because if you are a human being living today, Blessed Souls, according to the Torah, oral and written traditions, you are a direct descendant from Noah and one of his three sons. So you can access this book, which will tell you about your options, which you might want to adhere to as one of the blessed member of the children of Noah. And to purchase this copy of the book, The World of the Ger, you have to go to www.gergear.com, and we'll spell it out each letter at a time, even including the dots. www.gergear.com. And you can also contact Rabbi David Katz at Soul Mazel, SOULMAZAL at gmail.com, or Rabbi Chaim Klorfein at www.chaimklorfein.com. That's www.chaimklorfein.com. Now let's get on with the shoe. As a continuation of last week's initial installation, Thoughtful Soul Garments, we're going to do a little brief review and then hopefully go further in today's program. So let us consider a brief perspective in relation to our thoughts, what our speech experience amounts to, namely an entity which is tangible to another human being who is blessed. So when I didn't drink a third cup of coffee before today's program. So let's rewind the videotape or the audio tape, but we can't because we're live. But anyway, we can say it. Here we go. And a one, and a two, and a three. So when human being A speaks to human being B, human being B senses the tangible expression, i.e. the transmission of speech. However, human being B does not comprehend the thoughts of human being A, which preceded human being A's verbal communication to human being B. In fact, human being B would most probably think human being A's thought process prior to human being A's speech is an expression of ayin, meaning the thoughts that human being A was contemplating on before sharing a verbal expression with human being B is not at all tangible to human being B. And therefore, before human being B hears anything from human being A, they would consider the thoughts of human being A to be at the level, the quality, a bechinat of machshavat ayin, or machshavot ayin. Really, thoughts of nothingness, meaning there's nothing tangible yet that human being B can relate to in relation to human being A. But when human being A's speech, the byproduct of human being A's thought process, is transmitted, that's basically all that human being B can think about, because human being A's primordial speech, which means his or her thoughts, are oblivious to human being B. However, before human being A speaks to human being B, human being A's thoughts are quite tangible to him or her. And for human being A, his or her thoughts are actually an expression of some sort of tangible entity, assuming some sort of importance within human being A's consciousness, cognitive awareness, and intellectual imperative, because from that smorgasbord of thoughts that human being A is entertaining, eventually human being A must choose to subjugate some of those thoughts and put them to the side and make other thoughts human being A is thinking about and make them subservient to his or her decision how to express themselves verbally. So there's a process of putting to the side certain thoughts that human being A is thinking about, and there's the process also of human being A choosing which thoughts are going to come out or what thoughts he or she want to be expressed through their speech process. So we, as human beings, blessed souls, well, I've said human beings so many times today, I think to make sure I don't mispronounce it, I think after the show I'll have to write 100 times on the chalkboard, this is how you spell and pronounce human being. But anyway, going further. So we as human beings are cordially invited to explore further that while our very unique human being design is to serve as a vehicle for our blessed thoughts. Our thoughts, hopefully, should weigh in on the scale of consciousness as essential, primary experiences, which are also connected, according to the inner dimensions of Torah, as elucidated by the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Chabad Rebbe, Lubavitcher Rebbe, who lived from 1788 to 1866, I believe, until he went to the next level of life, that thoughts, which we experience within our mind, our right brain, left brain, and back brain thinking, are primary experiences which are hopefully connected to the hopefully normal, not hopefully, but these are primary experiences which are in fact connected to what we would hope to be then the manifestation of hopefully normal body functions. And our thoughts, as well, according to the inner dimensions of Torah, are a portion of a unique system which, from divine wisdom and will, was consciously constructed and also subconsciously transmitted, connected to the voluntary and involuntary rulership over all of our body parts. Therefore, given the importance of human thoughts connected to all aspects of overall human being functionality, our sages of Israel cautioned us that we should be wary how we actively channel our thought processing or how we experience our thoughts, which have been identified previously in our discussion so far as actually primary and tangible experiences. You know, we look in the world, bless and souls, and we say, oh, my experience, I went to California, I went to China, I read a book. But every second we are hopefully becoming more mindful that what we are thinking is also an expression of human experience. And when we start to think more about this expression of human experience taking place every moment of our blessed lives, hopefully we'll begin to build up our positive thinking muscles within our brain and to focus with increased quality and quantity on positive matters. Now, of course, I, as a Torah observant Jew, would encourage you, blessed souls, to learn more scripture, oral Torah traditions, to focus on what are God's expectation of us in terms of how to deal with positive matter, intellectual, spiritual, emotional, and even economic and even the most mundane matters. And not to squander precious soul energy towards negative matters such as hatred, jealousy, and competition. As well, if we fall into that slippery slope of negative contemplation upon matters that anger us, we in fact, heaven forbid, are squandering tremendous amounts of soul-mandated energy, which unfortunately can be channeled via our thoughts. And what could be the result of channeling such thoughts about negative matters such as thinking thoughts of anger? Well, unfortunately, we know from our own personal experiences, speech, which was preceded by those tangible angry thoughts, can evoke further anger, not just on our parts, but also evoking the anger from the receivers of our speech, which is filled with anger, as well as fanning the fire for the one speaking in anger, until our actions or another person's actions can actually manifest from that original anger which began in our thought processes. These words, thoughts of anger and words of anger can manifest in many different types of acts of anger and eventually leading to levels of breakage, whether it be simply gross material matters. In anger, a person can break a dish, a window, a computer, or more refined matters like, heaven forbid, out of the original angry thought and angry speech and angry actions, we can break, heaven forbid, more refined matters, like we can break our own hearts, literally and figuratively. We can hurt another human being's feelings and even cause short-term and long-term disastrous situations, injecting them into otherwise healthy relationships between two or more human beings. Rahman al-Atlan, heaven have mercy upon us. So we pause for a moment, blessed souls, and take a deep breath. And we exhale out any angry thoughts. Let them just be blown away, those angry thoughts. Because, blessed souls, angry thoughts are the result, the byproducts of lack of awareness, of consciousness, and subconscious anxieties. And now we can focus upon the mechanics in a deeper, more internalizable fashion, and hopefully emotionally and cognitively more accessible, the mechanics of blessed thought experiences. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, well, you know, of course, I try to avoid anger, but sometimes so-and-so makes me angry. And, of course, we're not judging anyone for getting angered because someone angered them. There's an expression in Hebrew, lahaknit, to basically to inflame up or to vex someone. And, in fact, we of Israel pray every day, whether it be in our liturgy or in our daily strivings in the world, we pray that no one gets on our case, no one vexes us, no one gives us that bad eye, that bad negative energy. So, of course, we're not living in a ideological, theological tower of being removed from day-to-day living experiences. Things can happen. Someone can step on one's toe. Someone can get an elbow by accident. Someone can spill a cup of hot tea on someone else, God forbid. You know, things happen. But it is for those, there are realms of human beings, blessed souls, who are so thoroughly trained in the art of recognizing everything coming from God, one of them being a sage mentioned in the Talmud, his name was Nochum Ish Gamzu, that when even something terrible happened to them, he would say, Gamzu Latova, this is also from good, because he could not recognize anything in his life that was bad, because he said anything that would happen to him, Gamzu Latova, this is good because everything comes from the Creator. But again, he was a very righteous soul, and we have to be very realistic, and I speak about myself before anyone else. You know, to become a ninja warrior spiritually, to avoid getting angry, it takes, for most of us, and I'm part of that process, basically a whole lifetime to avoid getting angry. So those moments that we're not angry, and we're joyous, and we're happy, and we're humble, and we're appreciating the blessings that we have, those are potent antidotes. They're not necessarily going to cure your anger, because anger has a very deep source in the human psyche, which hopefully at another time we'll talk about, but not today. So with that being said, just to let you know that you know, we're not saying that you know you're to be blamed if someone angered you. We're talking from the perspective, if you are the one experiencing the angry thoughts, try to avoid from projecting those anger into your speech, those thoughts of anger, or taking an action which leads to breakage, whether it be of gross material matter or more refined matter, like the heart of another human being, the feelings of another human being, and again, your otherwise normative, healthy relationships with other human beings. Now, we've taken our deep breath, and we've exhaled out some meditations about anger. Now we're going to go back on a macrocosmic level, because that's where the world of Panimus HaTorah is very, very, how should we say, adept at, causing you to focus in on perhaps a particular emotional trait or cognitive inclination, and asking you to go out of that inclination or that emotion of the moment and look back at the creation and consider the wonders of the macrocosmic panorama which is laid before our blessed minds to think about. hopefully meditate upon. Namely, that there are universal worlds of thought, speech, and action, which are, were, and will always be constantly nurtured by the divine qualities of divine speech, which were revealed by the initial 10 utterances, as we call it in Hebrew, the Lashon HaKodesh, Aseret HaMamorot, which are described clearly and tersely in the book of Genesis. And to learn more about that, go to the book of Genesis, chapters 1, verses 3 through 29, where 10 times it's mentioned that God spoke. But go see for yourself, blessed souls. I just gave you a source, a reference source, and hopefully you'll want to learn more about those sources. And I would also encourage you to see what Rashi has to say about it and the other great elucidators on the oral Torah tradition on the verses 3 through 29 in chapter 1 in the book of Genesis. Yet, we, if we allow ourselves to, blessed souls, can become truly humbled if we understand at some level that all the various dimensions on the microcosmic level of the worlds of thought, speech, and action are considered to be as if non-existent in relation to the divine world of intellect. Olamot Abiya, the world of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, the world of thought, speech, and action, Akolo Chashiva, considers that not even of significance in relation to the world, the divine world of intellect, Olam Atzilut. And within the divine world of intellect, there's even there's a hierarchy which seems to be a repetition of the world which is directly below it, meaning the world of intellect from a perspective of, from the hierarchy going from above to below, the divine world of intellect, Olam Atzilus, towers over the Olam Abriya, the world of thought, but yet, since the world of Atzilus is a conduit, the world of intellect, the divine world of intellect, is a conduit, for the world of thought, which has its own pristine levels of divinity, the world of intellect contains within itself a divine level of thought processing. Now, the thought processing which takes place, of course, via divine decree, basically how the osios, which we have within our oral Torah tradition, the osios, the holy letters of creation from the Lashon HaKodesh, are the conduits for channeling down unifications of the essence of the Creator in a diminished yet qualitative fashion. And in this process, not only revealed worlds become apparent to our human intellectual processing, there's also a whole other realm of divine thought, which is even talked about in Isaiah, where the Creator says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." So at that level where my thoughts are not your thoughts, Creator tells us through the prophetic teaching of Isaiah, excuse me that I forgot the chapter and the verse, but one day, hopefully within next week, between now and the next program, I'll access that and share that with you, where Creator says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts." So where Creator's thoughts are not our thoughts, there is a generation of hidden worlds. And while thoughts, those divine thoughts, are residing within the divine world of intellect, it doesn't take too much trouble, or it shouldn't trouble us, that these thoughts are very well concealed from human beings devoid of such consciousness innately, because again, in the Creator's realm, it's way beyond us, and how much more so when we're devoid of learning such teachings from the dimensions of Panimata Torah, the inner dimensions of Torah. So those crystal clear holy divine thoughts are in fact tangible and possess existence within the divine world of intellect, Olam Atzilut. And paradoxically, the divine speech, which manifested via the 10 divine utterances, which we mentioned before in Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 29, is actually equated to be an expression of Ayin Eloki, divine nothingness, which means basically a conduit by means by which the Creator and Creator's divine sense of humility, not in the human sense of humility, diminished the revelation of godly light so it should be accessible and receivable by the lower realms of creation until this lowest of all worlds, this world of action, Olam Asiyah. So we should feel a sense of tangibility and entity. So that divine speech, which gives us, which reveals the vitality to us, because again, we know that the creation came into being from the Torah because God spoke and various creations were created, manifested. But that, at the same time too, that divine speech is considered nothing in relation to the thought processes which preceded it, as we can understand in the hierarchy of before and after. But by Creator, there is no before and after. It was a simultaneous expression, which is a matter which is discussed at length in the oral traditions of Israel, in the inner dimension, revealed dimensions of the Torah. So now let us, blessed souls, extract from the above macrocosmic scenario and downsize it to the level of one or any teeny tiny human being, man or woman, for the thoughts, speech, and actions experienced by being man or being woman provides for us microcosmic expressions of concealed and revealed dimensions of the very worlds we talked about just a moment ago on the macrocosmic level. But I'm going to have to leave you hanging a little bit, blessings, because it's time to go. It's the end of the show. And so we're going to end the program with our segue ending music. Wonderful brother by the name of David Dome, who will help us get back home to realize that Tzelem Elohim is no dream. We can get out in scrimmage with our divine image to help us remind ourselves on a continual basis, hopefully with other blessed souls, that we can be good, and we've got to be good, because a teva hatov lehetiv, it is the nature of the good to do good, and the Creator is that teva hatov. He is the source of all goodness because He's given us this precious life. And therefore, we might struggle with our ambivalences, and even with our anger issues, and with our apathy, and whatever it may be. But that's okay, blessed souls. Creator is merciful, and the eternal Creator is very patient with us. And He's willing to wait for us to discover our own level. And hopefully in that process, we're getting involved in damage control. We're not trying to hurt people in our process of self-discovery. And once we get involved in that process of self-discovery, we can sing the song that David Dome wrote about. It's called Travis's Song, which is really the song of every human being. And hopefully we're now going to conclude it in an open way of a havachad, one love, gerlachad, one destiny kulano for all of us, b'darchi shalom, in a peaceful, b'darchi noam, in a pleasant way, laham sheikh, to be continued, b'ez Hashem yisparech, to be continued with the help of the Most High. Take care, everyone.
As I take my step to the glory.